Welcome to Critical Junction, episode 16. I'm Mark.
I'm Luke.
I'm Jill.
And we're here at McDonald Williamson House in Hawkesbury, along with Ottawa Paranormal Research and Investigations. So thanks a lot for having us out here, guys. Let's start off with some introductions, I guess.
I'm John Moore, the founder and lead investigator for Ottawa Paranormal.
And I'm Daryl Warner. I'm the technical advisor.
So why don't you walk us through what we're going to be going through tonight? What's going to be, what's the plan, what's happening, and why are we here?
Well, tonight we're here because we're in this beautiful National Heritage Site because they've been experiencing what they believe could be some sort of paranormal activity. People often feel like they're being watched, as we've been told in the place. To my knowledge, no one has seen or heard an actual apparition at this point, but, you know, hopefully tonight we can prove that wrong.
I heard mention of chains. They've heard chains jangling. The guy that died of rabies, one of the guys died of rabies in the house, and supposedly that's one of the phenomena, is chains.
We still haven't had a chance to actually go through the building and get all the stories yet, so I'm sure that's one we're going to definitely be interested in for a little later.
Chains.
Classic stories, ghost stuff. It's great.
So why don't you walk us through a little bit about of your methodology and how you go about these investigations typically?
Well, what we do first is we'll come in and we'll set up a number of different pieces of equipment, cameras, audio devices, things like that, trying to capture any of the noises, sounds, or figures, apparitions, or anything else that would be claimed in the building. And basically we want to try and see if we can find them or recreate what the people are experiencing, or find some sort of other alternate explanations for what is actually happening in a building.
Okay. So would you say you apply the scientific method to your investigations?
We do, actually, yeah.
Yeah? Okay, that's awesome.
Have you been able to recreate any phenomenon or anything like that?
We have had a few, yeah, where we've been able to recreate or find a natural explanation for them. In one house we were in, they kept seeing these strange lights that would be appearing, and there wasn't reflective surface or anything, but we were able to find out that by walking outside with flashlights, we were able to find that there was an area outside where it was reflecting just perfectly to get in and create this
light phenomenon
they were experiencing. So
roughly, let's say, what percentage do you think of findings are explainable versus something that you find to be inconclusive?
Easily 80% or more.
Okay. So
is explainable.
Is explainable, right, yes.
Yeah.
Cool. Do you mind walking us through a couple of examples of something that you've found to be unexplainable?
We've had... We were on one case where I was in New Brunswick visiting a house down there where a gentleman, the story goes that he committed suicide. However, there's a lot of locals that believe he was murdered. And basically in the house, we actually caught an apparition in our full spectrum camera coming out of a closet. We had two other cameras from two other angles watching this, and we have all investigators in frame. You can see that none of us are moving. And the thing that's very strange about this, it's almost like a white lace dress that's coming around. Now, another claim in that house is a woman from the Victorian era who passed away somewhere in like around the 1800s, where this would have been the type of dress that she'd been wearing. So to see that come through the edge of our camera, when we can't really explain that, especially with the fact this was an empty abandoned house basically, and there's no way that from the other two cameras that we could see anything that would cause it.
Do you find that you have a different approach to this kind of stuff from other I don't know, popular groups that'll do ghost hunting? Or
every group has its own unique way of doing things based on what their beliefs are, their ideology, and where their influences for what they're doing in the field is. With us, we try to come in with a very open mind on every case, no preconceived notions. All of our people are from different backgrounds. Like, I myself started out in the 90s studying parapsychology and demonology. There's others on our team, they rely more heavily on the spiritual side. There's others, they rely totally on the science side, similar to like what you would see. Some of them would even follow, you know, some of what you see on television and the way they do things. But generally, we have so many different methodologies. We try to just see which ones work at different times, and just try to get everything to work together to try and find a way to get answers for what's going on.
To see if the different methods agree or...
Yep. We often have sometimes where people butt heads a little bit on ideas, but
okay.
in the end, it always always works out.
Can you tell us about some of the butting heads there? Like what, what are the different ideas that?
No, well, there's sometimes where we'll have someone who's more, I guess, spiritually inclined. Would be leaning heavily towards this.
Daryl
is what
laughs.
I'm feeling.
Yeah. Equipment guy laughs.
The tech guy's laughing.
I'm
when
on
I
the other
spiritual.
End of that spectrum, so I don't put a whole lot of weight into the spiritual side, except for a place to start looking.
Yeah,
okay.
But sometimes they'll be saying, you know, I know this is here, this is what's happening. At the same time, our tech guys are looking at it, saying, you know, no, it's not. We got nothing on here, so it's not happening. So, you know,
right.
just things like that where they would butt. I mean, it's not
okay.
like they come to blows or anything.
No.
I want to circle back just real quickly on the scientific method question that I asked a little just earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So how exactly or how scientifically do you approach these investigations?
Like,
touch
that one, John?
Go for it.
Well, ghost hunting or paranormal investigating is a very subjective field for most people. And the difficulty with that is subjective only preaches to the convinced. You're not gonna convince somebody who's skeptical of this stuff with I saw or I heard or
right.
I felt. It just doesn't happen that way.
Mm-hmm.
What you need is concrete, verifiable, repeatable.
There's a repeatable
information. It
yeah.
has to be repeatable for it to be
yeah.
verified.
Yeah.
We were just talking about that in the car.
It's extraordinarily difficult in this field.
Have you ever encountered it, though? Any sort of
me personally,
repeating a phenomenon?
Repeated phenomenon? No.
Okay.
However, that said, paranormal investigating is also a field of science unto itself, you could argue, because the subjective nature of it is necessary. You have to have it. What we're dealing with is not generally non, how do I put this? Non-living would be the most accurate term. I mean,
so you're
we
saying
have,
it's a special case.
Well, you have different types of...
It's something that we don't totally understand,
yeah.
honestly.
We can't look
it's
at
beyond
it.
The current range of science
yeah.
that we know.
Right, so there's no scientific model for this, so what are we going on? We're just trying
you
to
go
collect
with
data.
What you're
exactly.
feeling your way around in the dark, because the moment someone can capture something and say, this is the type of radiation this exerts or
right.
puts out, and here's a piece of equipment that can measure that, then we got it cased. But
yeah.
that just doesn't exist. So what we do is we take what we have, what we think, with some well-thought-out ideas, some solid research, some science, and you say, well, what can we do? And you look at, well, we have a whole broad electromagnetic spectrum. If something is here, there's a reasonable possibility it's going to show up on that electromagnetic spectrum somewhere. So we try and cover as much of that spectrum as possible. You use your eyes, you use the other resources you have to point you in a direction, and then you employ your scientific method for the rest of it. Fallible, because we can't control the environment, we can't control people's perceptions, we can't control most of the variables involved, and that's what separates it from the harder
mm-hmm.
sciences.
So I'm gonna pick up on one thing that you mentioned about the EM spectrum. So what I'm curious about is why typically, paranormal investigators rely on EM detectors and other such equipment in order to...
the EM detectors, actually, they came about in the 80s. It actually came from research done by Dr. Michael Persinger. He's a parapsychologist and a neurologist, actually, at Laurentian University. So this is a Canadian discovery, believe it or not.
Shout out to Laurentian.
And what he found in the 80s was that you could use EMF, basically, to influence people. So he made what was called the God Helmet, and he had people wear this and use varying degrees of EMF to try and influence them. And some people, they were actually starting to hallucinate and see things.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think Richard Dawkins actually
yeah.
tried one of these helmets
yeah.
on, and
he
reported that he felt like a kind of euphoria.
Yeah.
That happens a lot with the flames from the God Helmet. It's an experiment that's been done and redone by people over the years. But he was the first, and that's when they began watching through for the... like looking for EMF in houses as a possible natural cause. Now, with that, they also noticed in some places, like especially the areas like Gettysburg, where hundreds of people
yeah.
have seen this same apparition. That's what we call generally residual haunting. So parapsychologists were going into there, and they were using EMF meters in there, and they would go in and they would isolate it, they would take all the power out, like there's no way there's any power in this, and they would be watching these EMF meters, and they were actually seeing, in some of these areas, they were seeing spikes as people were seeing things, so they actually began to believe, you know, there's a possibility that this is something. Now, at the other hand, there are times when it's not present.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit of a catch-22, because, you know, the EMF can create this, so how can it be... How can it be the cause? It could be the cause of it as well.
Right.
So we're talking magnetic fields
that
cause that can possibly cause hallucinations. Like we're referring to this God helmet as a reference that it is possible that magnetic fields do this to the brain and can cause
certainly
with some people. You know, it's the same as how people react differently to different medications. Everybody's body is different. Some people are more sensitive than others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've seen some places where in a room with a ceiling fan, people are getting bugged by that fan because of the EMF it's putting out. And then we've got other people, like we could walk, Daryl or I would walk in, it wouldn't bother us at all.
Right, I'm thinking of like the brother from Better Call Saul. Can't even be in the room with batteries, you know.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
Fascinating. Okay, so just continuing on those lines, whenever you're doing an investigation, I assume you do some kind of baseline reading before going out with the actual investigation, make sure you account for everything that's explained, but first of all, and then see what you can find afterwards, right?
Yep, absolutely. Tonight, Daryl's actually already gone through
gone through with the EMF report.
Correct.
Okay, yes.
Now, he went through, he was checking the baseline EMF, so during the night, we'll watch for any spikes that are above that, and at that point, we'll be looking around to see, you know, is there a piece of our equipment nearby? Is there some other reason that this is spiking? You know.
Okay.
Some of the time with rookies, we like to play with the radios just to have fun with them.
But all the EMF detector tells us is that there is EMF or not EMF.
It's doing its job.
How we interpret that will depend on how that EMF is there or not. Or if it's not there, then it's there, then it's not there.
So any strange anomalies when you were doing the readings earlier?
Not today.
Or anything? Okay.
Now, an interesting anecdote on that. With a previous group I was with, we were doing an investigation in Nova Scotia at an old habitation site at Annapolis Royal. And we were finding EMF spikes in some of these buildings, which were unpowered. They were in their original restored state. And what we realized, it was coming from the coal buckets. So the little things that you would never expect for these things, but coal is at times naturally radioactive.
Right, right.
So giving out the radiation. Mystery solved.
Scientifically.
So in terms of this evening, what is it that you do? Do you expect to find anything tonight?
We go into every case hoping, I guess is the best word, to actually
hoping
find something,
expecting.
But not expecting. If you're expecting something to happen, then you're just going to be every
this
little noise.
This is not
noise,
the business for you or the hobby.
Yeah, every little noise, you're going to be jumping out of your skin. Like, oh, what was that? Like, you know, we've all seen them on TV.
Yeah.
People jumping out of their skin because, you know, oh, what's that? Because that's... that they're dramatizing. People really wouldn't want to watch us sitting in the dark staring at basically security cameras all night.
Right.
Because believe me, it's not that much fun.
No.
Even worse when we have to go back and watch them all individually afterwards. Interesting one on that. My wife actually paused one on me and I sat there for 45 minutes before I realized it was paused. Not happy that day. But tonight we don't have any preconceived notions. I mean, we just want to come in with what they've told us, see if we can find any answers for what that is. And, you know, if we do catch something, that's awesome. But if not, you know, that happens.
Yeah,
most of the time when we go into a place, you know, even places like the Bytown Museum in the city that are well-known, well-haunted places, it won't happen all the time. They're not here to, like, ghosts aren't there to...
You're looking for gems, basically. Like it happens. Something can happen every so often, and it's
you basically have
luck.
To be there at the right time, right place to actually have it happen.
And patient.
Yeah.
Very patient.
Yes.
Well, speaking of patience, how long do these investigations typically last?
They can last. Generally, we try to stay 4 to 6 hours. They can last longer if we're having for an actual very active site and things are happening all night, then we're going to keep going, try to get a little bit more. But generally, if we're in a slow site, nothing's happening, we've been able to debunk a lot of it, and we realize, you know, what's going on, at that point we can wrap it up a little early and just, you know, everybody can get home, get a little bit of sleep. So,
and you do all this pro bono, right?
Yep. We never charge for any of the things we do for anyone.
Cool. Well, that's That's a
it contributes to the legitimacy.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's credibility.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We're doing it because we are actually interested in finding out what we can about this stuff, not about becoming famous for it.
So how do people find you, or how do you find places to...
Turn on a light, something
at.
Shines in the sky on the clouds.
Yeah, we've got one of those bat signals, but it's a big Ghostbuster emblem.
Well, that's how we found
you. No, that's on my bedroom ceiling. But no, people can find us through our website, word of mouth. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all the usual social media. So people find us in all those different ways.
So, for example, in this case, did you guys reach out?
For locations like this, we do reach out. We have people on our team that look up old heritage sites, things like that. And we contact them seeing if, hey, is there anything happening around there? Would you mind if we come out and take a look? And at the same time, we try to bring a little bit of exposure to these places. You know, because these are gorgeous buildings. It's National Heritage Site.
There's
a lot of people that probably don't even know this place is here. So we hope to, by people seeing this, like you're hearing your podcast, seeing our videos and our posting on Facebook, hopefully people are going to be curious, and it's going to actually bring some people down here, so that this gorgeous location can actually keep open and keep running.
How long have you been doing this?
I myself have been doing it since 95, so a little over 22 years.
I've been researching this stuff for decades, but I actually actively got involved in the ghost hunting side of it about 5 years ago.
And what is it that first got you interested in this kind of field?
Born that way, I guess.
Well, I grew up in a funeral home, saw my first apparition at 8 years old. So
that'll
I've
do.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've seen a ghost, is
I have.
Okay,
I've
right.
seen it on two separate occasions, though not during an investigation.
So what can you tell us a bit about that?
Well, the first one, when I was 8 years old, I saw it. I was at the family funeral home, and down in the basement we had an area where it was a coffin showcase. I used to love playing hide and seek down there until I got banned from it. But anyways, I saw this older gentleman down there. You know, it's late at night. My father was cleaning in the chapel after, I can't remember if it was a service or a wake, but he was in there cleaning up for the next day. And I saw this gentleman at the bottom, foot of the stairs. You know, it's dark, so I didn't think much of it. I just wave, and he waves back. I'm like, hi. My dad comes out of the chapel hearing me talk, and he's, who are you talking to? I said, oh, there was a man down there. So everyone had gone, so my dad went and searched the whole building. Couldn't find him. Lo and behold, a few years later, my grandmother is showing pictures of my great-grandfather, who actually built the funeral home, and that was the same man that I saw that day in the basement.
He was playing hide-and-seek.
Yeah,
pretty well. Hide-and-seek, and found him.
So he just looked like a normal guy to you. He didn't look like in the movies, like that kind of smoky...
No, he looked like a normal guy to me, but again, like I said, I'm looking down a dark staircase.
Right.
So anyway, you look, even if someone was down there, it'd be hard to see them, right? So it may have been a little smoky, maybe a little faded, because we do hear claims when people see a full-bodied apparition, and they see it clearly, that they are slightly opaque, slightly see-through.
Right.
But just the lighting I had at the time when I saw this, to me, it was just like just a regular guy standing
there.
But you saw enough to recognize years later in the photograph, kind of.
Yeah. The face was
clear.
Very clear and easily to make out. So. Incidentally, that house that building now still stands, although it's a vocational board. And friends of mine down there say they still hate working in that basement.
Have you done a session down there? Have you checked it out?
I have not. My family sold the funeral home years before I moved to Ottawa, and I haven't actually had a chance to do an investigation there. However, I have put in calls to the people that own the building now, hoping that one day they're going to respond positively for us.
Is it a home now?
Nope, it's had a few mixed uses, but now I believe it's still being used as either a vocational board or adult learning annex or something like that.
So
I'm not
100%. Used.
It is being used,
okay.
Yes. And as I said, I have friends that actually still work there, and they hate that basement.
Right.
So tonight, where are you guys starting with the investigation?
When we get started tonight, we're probably going to send out our first teams. It's going to depend on what our sensitive told us and the history we get from the people that are caretaking this building.
Right.
And once we have that, we'll formulate our plan on where we're going to start. But likely, I think what we're going to be doing is we'll probably end up starting upstairs in the bedroom area where the kids would have been. We you know, back in the 1800s. Some of the history we read, some of the children would have died in the house because, you know, back then a lot of children didn't make it to adulthood. So there is the possibility.
That I believe half of them died or something like that. Is that not
I thought I heard something like that, or that I read something like that.
And it would be a very safe bet, given the remoteness of this for the 1800s, that they would have died in their beds here. So I would think that the easiest place for us to get started would probably be up in the sleeping areas,
right,
just to see.
So I didn't want to bother it, but I recognized the medium, or the sensitive, I guess,
mm-hmm,
is what you call it. So she was walking around, and I guess voicing her impressions of feelings in the rooms,
mm-hmm,
and stuff like that. What do you guys gather from that, or like what kind of stuff do you learn from that, or what do you take
away
from that? Or?
With the use of the sensitive, they are just another tool that we use,
yeah,
for this. I'm sure Julie loves me calling her that, but she's not here, so I'm going to get away with that one. But no, it's just something else. You know, sometimes their impressions, they can say, you know, I'm feeling something here, and you know, at that point it becomes, are they putting an idea in your head, or is there something there? Because you know, when that happens, something may happen, but is it that she's put that idea in your head or not? But we've had times where sensitives were with us, and they would take us to a room where people had not claimed activity, and we would get something there because that's where they were drawn to.
Okay.
So for us, it's just something else. When she's going around like that, we actually record what she's doing, and she's voicing her opinion. That way we have it documented. Afterwards, when she comes back down, we're going to talk to the caretakers, and we'll find out how much of what she was saying on camera is actually accurate.
So she comes in blind, basically?
She comes in blind. She
okay.
She has not seen any of the history of the building. She has not looked at anything. She generally doesn't even know where she's going until the day of. So they come in, and they will do as you saw. They'll go through the building with two of our investigators just to watch for contaminate, you know, watch that they're not going to see on the wall some historic plaque or something, and so that we can record it. And then we'll go back and see how much of it actually lines up to true things. Then, as I mentioned, throughout the night, if she gets a feeling, you know, I think we should go over and concentrate here, we'll go give it a shot.
Can we talk to her at some point?
Yep.
That'd be fantastic.
I guess it would be up to her. We'll ask her. Her name, what is her name?
Julie.
Julie.
You got Julie back?
But we don't have to do it now or anything like that.
We can do it whenever
it's convenient for her. We don't want to bother any.
No worries. Well, I think they're just having a cigarette or something. So enjoying a little downtime before we get going.
Very nice. So, what are you going to have us do tonight?
Tonight, you guys are basically going to be one of the group. We'll be sending you out when we do some EVP sessions. You'll be taking part in some of the experiments we run, playing with some of our more fancy toys.
Cool.
So
okay.
We'll just see which one we're gonna. And by the way, we have a bet going on which one's the one who runs out screaming first. That's a usual thing.
We
it's
have
a usual
the same
thing.
Bet of which one of us. Is
We did the same with the unbalanced breakfast, but they already told us who it was gonna be, so it kind of fell through. On that one.
Well, in the interest of being scientific about this, I'm not gonna say who my guess is at the moment. Okay, well, I'm totally looking forward to that. I'm a huge skeptic, so I'm not necessarily expecting to see anything. I'm hoping I see something, but I guess we'll see what happens. So that'll be fun.
Well, in the words of Jason Haas, a skeptic is just a person who hasn't had an experience yet.
Well, let's hope tonight is that night. I've been wanting to have a supernatural experience for as long as I can remember, but never have, with the exception of that one story that I told during our first paranormal episode. So that happened. I don't know if you guys want me to tell the story again, or you just want to listen to the episode again.
Tell the story.
Luke wants to hear the story. So,
sure.
This was when I was a lot younger. I was in my backyard with a friend of mine, and we're dicking around with a Ouija board, because that's what young kids do, right?
Brilliant.
Yes.
We had cases start with that.
Known to open gateways sort of thing, like in the mythos? No?
So I was playing with the Ouija board.
And eventually we make contact with a girl who said she died at the age of 11.
You know, they always say that.
They're
always young girls.
Yeah.
If it's all young girl, yeah, always run.
So we're like, we ask for its name, it spells out Emily on the board, and then, demanding evidence, we ask for some kind of proof of this thing. We get nothing for maybe 5-10 minutes, so we decide to put the board away and go about our business. So a little while later, my dad, who had been completely out of earshot for this entire thing, he was in the basement, we were outside in the backyard, he comes up to us and he asks us, did she find you? We're like, What are you talking about? Well, there's this little girl looking for you guys. Did she find you? Like, did she happen to tell you her name? And of course, he says, yeah, it's Emily. And we freak out, and that's the last we heard of it. I don't know if my dad was just fucking with us because he's the type of person to do that, but again, he was nowhere near the two of us when we were doing this. And he can't remember the incident when I asked him about it, so it'll remain forever a mystery. And that's my story.
So, you know, every time someone, or not every time, but frequently enough, when someone comes in with a haunting or a home haunting or something like that, you have no idea how many times it is a little girl in the basement.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of imagery and things like that that repeat themselves. Do you guys have any inklings as to why that would be, sort of thing? Or?
Well, there's a couple of things. I mean, from the believer side of the house, I mean, if I was something not very friendly and I wanted to make some friends or influence someone or get involved in somebody's life, I would want to be the most innocuous thing I could be. And what's more innocuous than a small girl?
Right. You're speaking from the perspective of if you were a ghost, what
yes.
you would choose to
if I was,
recognize
if I was an evil
right,
entity,
okay,
or even if I was someone not evil trying to make contact, I'd want to be innocuous.
How do you get close? Yeah.
Exactly. How do you get in there without scaring
the
hell out of people?
What's going to be the least fearful thing that you, somebody would
for me personally,
interact
if
with.
I see a little girl, that's probably more frightening than if I saw Pennywise.
So, in terms of frightening, what is the most frightening experience you guys have had during an investigation?
Anything?
That's a tough one.
Have you
I
been freaked out at all? Or
here's a story for you.
I honestly have not really been freaked out, but then again, I've been present at exorcisms.
I've been terrified.
Some of those got quite interesting.
That was
in the lead up to that one, seeing a woman lifted about an inch off the ground by an unseen force that was choking her throat, that was quite a bit of a shock. I wouldn't say it scared us, but...
Was any of this captured? Like, was any of this filmed, or I guess...
No, we weren't filming at that point. We were just actually sitting around. We were just talking to her around, and we were using some, I guess the proper term would be religious items, just to see what kind of reaction she would have to them, because we were suspecting something a little more malevolent in that case. So, and she did start reacting to them. However, these are not items, like, you know, I wasn't holding up a cross going, does this burn? We were using, like, we weren't doing things like that. It was basically like we would have a bottle of water there, and it was actually holy water, but
right.
she didn't know that. And she would take a drink from it, and we'd just see what her reaction was to things like that.
And you did get some freaky results there on that one, I guess.
Well, she got lifted that high off the ground by a hand that was unseen. Joking.
This was after some drinking of the water, or what? Did you see what catalyzed it, or anything like that?
We asked her to read a passage,
okay.
And when she started reading it, that's when it happened. So,
wow,
interesting.
Very interesting.
Were you there for that one, Daryl?
No, I wasn't.
No,
that
was before Daryl came to us.
So you were talking about being freaked out. So you're the man of science over here. Tell us about you being.
I'm a victim, mostly skeptic. But this was before I joined John's group, was an investigation in Nova Scotia, and we're using that spirit box. And as we were describing earlier, it's more of a white noise generator than anything else. And it's the only time I've ever seen this thing actually work. We ended up having a conversation with something, someone, who knows, right? At the end of the conversation, we said, we're going to go now, goodbye. And this thing identified itself as Bob. Bob was the name that it chose to call itself, which I do not believe, but when we said goodbye, it came back and said, oh no, I'll see you tomorrow. And that was very unsettling.
Anything weird happen the next day, though, at all? Or
More than one of us had to have some kind of ritualistic cleansing of our personal property. We didn't do anything to protect ourselves, which is a huge no-no.
Are you talking about some sort of like a soul condom, or what are we talking about here?
I guess
protection.
A soul prophylactic, I guess you would say. But something like that. You pray.
Everybody has their own beliefs that they would use, or some way that they would
usually
use to find and make themselves, you know, more. I guess the best way is like to seal themselves and center themselves.
Right.
Just some way that they would feel protected. So
as an atheist, what would you recommend that I do to protect myself during one of these things?
Don't speak to anything.
Have fun.
Yeah.
Have fun and tell me you don't believe when it's done.
Exactly.
Challenge accepted.
Because as an atheist, you wouldn't have any belief to fall back on. So this, technically, none of these things would even exist.
technically.
Which makes you extraordinarily vulnerable.
Oh, well, we'll see. Excellent.
Not believing in bullets doesn't make you not get shot.
I don't believe in
tables. That's
right.
That's
the
size of it.
Table does not believe.
But no, I mean, in this instance, nobody did anything to protect themselves, and everybody suffered.
Wow.
So what is this spirit box thing?
Spirit box.
It's a broken radio.
Yeah, essentially it's a radio that skips radio frequencies, I think it's 10 times a second.
Yeah, it goes through a different varying rates, and it just scans through the radio dial. Like if you had an old tuner radio, and you just grabbed the knob and just started cranking
it
nonstop, that's what it's doing.
So in terms of communication with it, what was happening in this instance, for example, when you
we were asking
worked,
questions,
and a voice was returning.
A consistent, recognizable, and repeatable voice of the same tone, tenor, and accent was responding intelligently to the questions we were asking.
Using, like, words and complete sentences?
Words and complete sentences.
And there's no way anyone could have piggybacked on one of those radio signals?
Absolutely not. Unless they had some kind of sophisticated frequency hopping transmitter that basically
have to be matching.
Oh, right, they'd have to be hopping
the
transmitter.
The cycle.
At the same cycle.
Right.
At the same rate.
I see.
At the same speed. At a close enough range that they could interfere. The chances of that are extraordinarily slim.
Huh.
So it was exhilarating, it was creepy, and it was a really bad idea.
So, okay, can you tell me about this, the bad things that happened? This,
yeah, the consequences.
The consequences of the actions here?
Well, let's see.
Of not being protected.
Myself, personally, people wouldn't stay in my house. They would come in, they'd feel extremely uncomfortable. These people had no knowledge of the fact that I was involved in this stuff or any background. They'd come in, they'd feel odd, they'd leave. Good friends would come in and they'd say there's something wrong with your house and they'd take off. I couldn't think food would go bad quickly in the fridge. I was having light bulbs burning out, various different issues. I was getting very depressed and moody. And just very subjective things that you can't really put a finger on or record, but enough to say, you know, something really isn't right. And same, and when I got in contact with the other members of the team, everyone that was involved in that particular sitting was experiencing things that were very similar to getting physically sick, mental illness issues, you name it. After my house was cleansed, completely resolved the issue, and the same with everyone else involved.
How long between the start of these kinds of issues and you figuring out that you should get the cleanse?
About 2 weeks? Yeah.
Oh.
It begins subtly and it just starts ramping up.
Huh.
Very interesting indeed, for sure.
Do you feel like you've gone through any sort of transition in terms of coming in a skeptic, leaving a pseudo-believer of some sort, or because I mean you're saying you're skeptical, but then
it's
you're basically
very much a quandary
given us stuff here.
I'm a very odd bird that way because I'm a devout Christian.
Okay.
But when it comes to these type of supernatural investigations, I'm very skeptical because unless I can prove it, it doesn't exist for the most part. Kind of like Santa
but
Claus.
In that sense, though, you do have a belief in the afterlife and things like
I
that.
I do.
Yeah. Okay.
But the Christian afterlife doesn't really allow for ghosts.
For ghosts, yeah.
Because you die, you go somewhere else. You're
so
not
in that sense, you're
but
actually...
But it's ironic because culturally, ghosts are totally a thing in Western Christian society. Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's kind of funny that...
Is there no mention of ghosts in the Bible?
There are.
Yeah.
There are many.
Okay, so
ghosts
that would suggest
all the time
that...
In the Bible.
Some use the idea of purgatory as a possibility for where, you know, the in-between, where people aren't quite ready to move to heaven and, you know, don't want to go down below.
Well, that's one of the big mythos of ghosts. Like, that's one of
they're
the...
They're stuck.
That they're
yeah.
stuck here. This is the in-between place. They.
Do you guys have any opinions as to what these spirits or apparitions might possibly be?
Well, we'll ask if we talk to one today.
There are so many different theories out there, like, and I've been on so many different cases over the years that sometimes each theory could be right depending on the case. So I think each one of these is like case by case. Again, we're playing with all these theoreticals and so many things that we can't prove because, you know, our science isn't there yet or just the very nature, as Daryl said earlier. So it's really hard to draw any conclusion. And the best thing, like, we find is to come in and just keep an open mind to any possibility could be right until we can 100% eliminate something.
And personally, from my Christian point of view, my perspective is if, big if, there is anything there, from my perspective, it is something to be very wary of. For me, nothing is friendly.
So what, you're saying that ghosts...
And he's the cheerful one.
...are in your experience so far, seem to be not friendly? Like, I guess you're suggesting you're sensing more malevolence than benevolence here?
From a scriptural point of view, people aren't here anymore after they die. However, also from a scriptural point of view, not a scriptural point of view, so common sense would dictate, if someone is still here after they die, but people are here after they die, it's probably someone mimicking someone that was here. And if someone's coming in to be an imposter for somebody, chances are they're not doing it because they're friendly.
So we're talking more here. We're going into like demons.
I wouldn't use that word, but I would say non-human.
Non-human?
Whatever that may be.
So is demon not the right word? Or
it depends on your personal beliefs.
Right.
For some it may be demon, for some it may be jinn, or any one of the other million different...
But not ghost, though, is what that other thing, I guess, is what I'm saying. Like, it is something pretending to be something else, and it's not, it's malevolent.
Yeah. When we talk about entities, we would look at them as basically being either human entities, like people like us that have passed and their souls
are formerly human. Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
They're trapped here. And then we would have inhuman, something that's never been human, which would be these... the demons, the jinn. Some people in more colorful religions may refer to them as this. You know, we've heard everything from sprites, fays, elementals, all kinds of different things like that. But you know, that's what they believe. But these things were never human. So that's basically what Daryl is getting at. You know, something like that from the Christian standpoint that he's talking about. It would have to be one of these inhuman because there are no humans.
There are no humans.
Unless you're Jedi.
That's an
exception.
Blue and semi-transparent. All right. Do you guys want to maybe start thinking about getting started with the walkthrough? Or
I think we should probably look into that. Time's starting to run. The guys are grabbing the gear, so
sounds good.
It's time to get
Let's go ahead and get that gear.
All righty. So we will take a short break, and when we get back to it, we'll be on our way to doing a paranormal investigation. Me for the first time. I don't know about you guys, but it'll be very interesting. Stay tuned. All right, so we're here at base camp, just getting ready to get started, and let's see what happens.
All right, so guys, tonight, remember, we're in. This is a heritage site. There's a lot of antiques, a lot of artifacts around. If you're moving, make sure a light is on. Get situated in a room. Sit down. Stay in one spot. That way, we're not going to damage anything. Whenever a team goes out, bring a radio. We have a lot. We are quite large here, so if something happens, radio back. Ask if anyone's moving, anything like that. Remember, no whispering when you're out, because that's what we're looking for. Be aware of your surroundings at all times. And, you know, otherwise, just basic general stuff, same as always. All right? And we got these guys from the... Critical Thinking podcast with us, so they're going to be coming out. Make sure that while they're out, just guide them, keep an eye on them.
Is someone tapping their feet?
Yeah, that's me.
Okay.
Sorry. Why no? What were you saying? And again, tag everything, any noises, anything, you know, you shuffle, you move, your stomach growls, something along those lines, make sure you tag it. Anything you got, Daryl?
One thing I noted downstairs in the kitchen, you can hear people talking up here through the hearth down there. So if you're doing sitting down there, the voices you're hearing are probably the people talking up here.
There's a horn.
Yeah, okay. So that's something to keep in mind. Also, the hot spots in the building, the tea room is one. The basement appears to be quite active as well. The rest of the areas, we're just going to basically run them as... to make sure that there's nothing going on. We may do a couple of EVPs in the ballroom or something just to see if we can trigger anything, or the parlor or the bedroom, see if we can trigger anything. Julie, what were your thoughts?
On?
When you were out picking up stuff.
Thoughts in terms of what we may capture, or?
Well, during your psychic walkthrough, which rooms do you believe would be the ones we need to concentrate most on?
One of the upstairs bedroom with the big bed, I think, would be a good place to focus on in terms of residual. The tea room also would be a good spot because of the previous activity reported there. And probably the storage room in the basement, actually, would be a good...
The jail room, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So again, guys, make sure when you're moving, keep a light on, watch. We don't want to break anything. We don't want anyone to get hurt. So, yeah, let's get her going. Let's have some fun. Looks like we've got the dust settled down. Oh, yes, and don't forget, we have two alarms out on the staircases. If anyone does hear them go off, radio instantly, stay put. Somebody from base camp will go. If you do hear a noise from somewhere, be sure to radio back to base. We'll send someone out to check it out, okay? Sound good?
Yep.
All right. What's that matter? Daryl?
Yeah.
We'll send Daryl, Craig, Julie run out on the first one. Sound good?
Sure. Where shall we go?
Wherever your heart desires.
Yeah, you need to go to the upstairs bedroom.
Yeah.
You need to be here.
So. The battery on?
Should have battery. Still got two bars. You should be good. Just keep an eye on.
Is it recording?
Yeah. Yeah.
Alright.
Okay. So Luke and I are about to head down into the basement. Apparently there's something down there, so we'll see if we see anything, hear anything. Should be interesting.
Okay.
Should be.
Only put up. Yep. And only. All
right, here we go. Yeah. So watch your feet going down here, guys.
All righty, we are in the basement. We're going to go into the what is now storage room, but apparently used to be the jail. Remind everybody that this is a movement alarm. I'm going to set down the recorder on a plastic bin. So we're doing a session, again, in the storage room, which used to be a jail. This is Julie.
Shelby.
Mark.
Luke.
And Luke. All right. Is there anybody in this room? Anybody who wants to talk into the red light? We can listen to it later. We can hear you. If there is someone here, can you tell us your name? Can you tell us how old you are? That's weird. My face feels warm.
Mm-hmm.
Your face feels warm too?
Yeah, just now.
You guys?
Nothing.
Yeah, my eyes feel really dry.
Can you knock on a wall or knock on something, anything, to let us know that you're here? Make a big, big noise. Did you guys hear that?
It's been happening since we got here.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's them walking around upstairs. Are you guys walking around upstairs?
That is me. It's, sorry. Keep going.
It's all good. If you have something to say, now's a good time. Talking to the red light. We can listen to it later. can
Are
tell.
Are you the one who turned on the light earlier when I went to the bathroom? Did you turn on the light to let me know that you were in here? How long have you been here? Can you make this motion alarm go off? That'd be cool. You can watch all of us jump when it does.
Yeah, if you like reactions.
There's some water noise. What is that over there? Is it deep? You got a fire?
Yeah. Can you touch one of us on the arm? You want to go stand in the corner, Shelby?
Yeah.
Do it. Turn it off for now. Let's turn it back on. Okay, ready?
We would really like to talk to you or interact with you in some way. We just want to know if you're here.
Be advised, we're moving up here in a moment. Just a second.
Roger that. Do you feel anything over there?
Cold. It's colder over here.
Oh.
But no, whenever you said hot face, I suddenly felt kind of drunk.
Ah!
So I'm wondering if this gentleman had an alcohol problem.
Maybe.
Did you have an alcohol problem? You didn't see it as a problem.
Anything over there?
A difference of 0.1 for a second.
Okay. That's normal. Sometimes when you move it around too fast, it picks up on itself. Could also be the humidifier.
Yeah, and it's the very corner of the basement.
So, if you're in this room, is it because you were locked up here? Did you commit a crime? Can you tell us what crime that was? Why are you here? What is keeping you here? Are you keeping yourself here? There's a lot of background noise from this dehumidifier.
Mm.
I'm thinking the recordings in this room are going to be garbage.
Yeah.
You know what's weird, though? Is that... You know that noise the Tasmanian devil makes when he's like, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
It's almost like that's the noise that the dude is making.
Interesting.
Ugh.
What?
Oh, it's just gross.
Do you want us to leave this room? If you want us to leave, you need to make a noise. Let us know that you're here.
That's an interesting coincidence.
Isn't it, though? The dehumidifier just stopped.
So you know the time? Well, I guess you asked the question.
Yeah.
Off.
That's 23:56. The dehumidifier happened to stop.
That was a little bit of a coincidence. Can you do something else for us?
Now that we can hear you properly, because that noise is off. Knock something over. Touch one of us. Knock on something.
Get a light real quick.
Do you see something? Did you see something? Did you feel something? Did you hear something? There's nothing stupid.
No, it might have been an artifact of just looking at this thing for so long, but I saw something here.
What exactly? Describe it.
Like a blur. And again, there was a slight difference of 0.1 when I came over.
Yeah.
Probably nothing.
Maybe yes, maybe no.
Maybe yes, maybe no.
Honestly? The best ghost detector on the planet is the human body. You feel hot, you feel cold, you feel sick, you see something, you don't see something, you hear something. There are no wrong answers. So if you feel something weird, you feel cold, you feel hot, you got goosebumps, you hear a whisper?
Nothing. There are pockets of cold in this area, though. Wish this... Oh, there we go.
Ah!
0.03.
That's interesting.
If that was you, do you mind doing that again? Give me something.
The millimeter went to 0.3. Keep it still for a minute. That was my sandal. If you want us to leave this room, make a big noise, make a knock. Let us know. Anything at all. Okay, well, let's go to the bakery. If you change your mind, we'll be here all night. Setting recorder down on glass case containing artifacts. It is really dark in here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? This room is... Somebody dropped a rubber ball.
Radio up.
That was you guys, right? No?
Yeah, what do you mean?
You did just drop a ball or something up there, right?
No, where did you hear from?
So it seemed to come down the steps, did it not?
Are you serious?
Oh.
We heard something fall down the stairs. It sounded like a ball or something. Wait, there is a ball. There's a ball in the corner.
Shut
the front door. Let me see it. Fuck off. It's right there. Let me just
get the video. Hang it on your recorder.
Holy shit.
Hopefully we got the noise.
Can you see the flashlight?
It's like a rubber ball, eh?
Yeah.
John, you gotta come see this.
That's weird.
Come down and see this. And did it sound like it came all the way from the top? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, eh? That's interesting.
So a ball came tumbling down the stairs, and there it is.
You're an asshole. You're such a butthead. Oh my god.
Sorry,
I'm
trying to use her. I went back to the room.
Good job.
Always a rational explanation.
John made a dirty, dirty, dirty trick.
Real funny, guys.
It was brilliant, though.
That was. I'm amused.
All right. Anybody in this room? Honestly, in here, it is so just residual.
Mm.
Good food, though. Yeah, bread with real gluten. The kind that makes you sick. Mm. You should try sourdough.
Yeah.
Is there anybody in this room who wants to communicate? We have a little red light here you can talk into. Tell us who you are. How old you are. What's your story?
I don't think there's anything in here.
What do you feel? Do you feel the difference between this room and the other room?
This one feels calmer.
Okay. Now, is that the power of suggestion? Or is that how you feel?
could be out of mind. Let me ask you this.
Mm.
Would you go into that other room by yourself
sure.
in the dark?
Yeah, I'll do it. I'll do
yeah.
it right now. Hell yeah.
It's all about the experience. Picking up the recorder, going back to the other room. Alright. There's a recorder in there, so we'll let you go.
That's
cute. Yeah.
Well, it's getting pretty late, guys. It's 1 o'clock. What do y'all think?
I think if there's anything to be captured, we would have captured it.
All right, Daryl, how about before we turn the lights on, we'll do our thermal sweep?
Sounds good.
Everyone good with that?
Yep.
We all got a long drive.
All right, guys. Well, that was... very interesting evening. Again, thanks so much for having us out here. That was a great opportunity.
No problem.
Hopefully we'll be able to do this again sometime.
Oh, geez, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Cool.
It was great to have you guys along.
Thanks
hope,
so much.
Hope the show turns out well.
Oh, I'm sure it will.
Once it airs, remember to send Alex and I.
For sure.
Oh, absolutely.
We've got a lot of material to sift through, so.
you have a lot.
Collective we all have a lot of stuff to go through.
If you want, we can send you some. You can start
yeah,
with
it. Absolutely.
I know for us, it takes a few weeks for us to go through this.
Yeah.
You have to thank every piece of equipment.
Yeah.
It takes about 4 to 5 hours. I have to watch every single one of those,
right.
All 8 cameras back real time.
Individually, yeah.
Individually, so there's another all kinds of fun.
Dang ball.
The ball.
I guess that's a wrap for us.
All right, that's a wrap for us.
That is a wrap for us. I guess we'll do our final thoughts in the car. All right, so we just got done with our paranormal investigation. We're here for a lot longer than I thought we'd be, but...
it is now 1:30 a.m.
It's 1:30 a.m. I am exhausted. It's a fun evening, though.
Yeah, it was pretty fun, even if we found nothing.
Nothing really changed my mind.
Anybody get
any type of
spooking or a chill up a spine?
I got
or
nothing. I felt absolutely
hairs on an arm. No.
Well, I was trying to let my imagination go along with the sensitive. Try and just pick up on any sort of dream type images that I was getting and stuff like that. And the three of us had a unanimous description of the guy that was downstairs in the prison area.
Well, that's kind of interesting. How did you figure out that you had a unanimous description? Like,
well, I described it, and they went, "Yep, that's what we're seeing too." And
oh, okay.
The girl, I can't remember.
Julie.
Not Julie, the other one.
Oh.
Like she gasped and went, because my description was the same as what she was thinking.
What
I guess,
she was imagining.
Like, yeah. And then it turned out to be the
dehumidifier.
The dehumidifier that was the only thing setting off any...
Yeah, the only interesting thing that happened during my walk around was I thought I saw kind of like a blur off to one corner. So when I went to check it with that measuring instrument, whatever
yeah.
it is, that the EMF detector or something, it jumped by like 0.3 or something.
Yeah, like I found
that's,
it... I found the entire experience interesting because suddenly you're thinking that your body is some sort of a measuring tool of some sort. So you're going, okay, what am I feeling? What am I feeling here?
Right.
What am I feeling? And then you're throwing anything out. So
yeah.
it just becomes this abstract hodgepodge of trying to describe sensations of the brain and body sort of thing. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
Definitely interesting. Like, they seem a lot more... I want to say they were thorough, for one thing. They were extremely thorough in what they were doing. Just, you know, from initial setup to the walk around with the thermal camera and all that stuff, that was...
Yeah, that guy had tons of equipment.
Yeah, they had a lot.
Yeah, man, and the app is like a $300 app on the phone and stuff like that. Like
a $300 app?
Yeah, yeah, for the
for
lights.
For the thermal,
yeah, the thermal thing.
Camera?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean, that shit ain't cheap, man, as a hobby.
Yeah. Yeah, the first guy that I spoke to, the one from Halifax, what was his name? The Christian guy that is doing the Iron Man?
Daryl,
yeah. He said that he's been gathering that equipment for like more than a decade.
Right, right.
Holy shit.
And it makes sense. I mean, that stuff's expensive,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, that was a lot of equipment.
Yeah.
So any final thoughts on the evening? On what we just did not encounter?
Well, that's not necessarily the case, though. I mean, he may go back and go, check out best footage we've ever captured ever of anything, and,
yeah.
And then we'll be like, wow, I did not see that lady standing there, you know, like, pinching Jill's butt, you know, who knows? Who knows what we'll see? I mean, because that's what you're looking for, right? You're looking for it afterwards, and you discover it afterwards,
mm-hmm.
I would think.
Hmm.
I mean, I don't know, it's not Poltergeist. We're not going to go into the bathroom and, like, peel our faces off and go, like, whoa, did that just happen?
Yeah, well, again, you know, I'm still not convinced of anything supernatural.
You knew that wouldn't...
Well,
you knew you wouldn't be convinced after this. I mean,
no, but we hoped.
We hoped.
Right?
Really?
Yeah. I went in with an open mind.
Well,
you
know, yeah. But you also coming out with an open mind. Is your mind any more closed than it was before?
Status quo
of the mind.
I always hope that I see something that makes... my...
Like, makes you believe in Santa Claus for that fraction of a second you hear...
That makes me think that something magical or supernatural that other people believe in might exist. Like, I would like to be made to believe.
Yeah, same. Like,
and I can't.
If something were to happen...
I never get lucky enough to have a...
Yeah. Like, same experience. Like, if something were to happen, something supernatural that would just throw my faith in science out the window and
that'd be great.
Me rethink this whole critical thinking thing,
mm-hmm.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
But so far we haven't seen that.
No.
Tonight is no different, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. It was a great experience, but
mm-hmm.
Status quo as far as I'm concerned.
Yep. And I commend these guys though for not kind of pushing the bullshit actually. Mm-hmm. I mean they all are more believing about this stuff, and they recounted stories of their own personal encounters with the supernatural or whatever. But
well, each one seems to have had an experience.
That's right.
Long ago,
mm-hmm.
That has led them to this.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they're starting with the belief in it.
That's right.
It's like I've already seen a UFO. I am now a UFO hunter, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. But at the same time, when we're doing one of these investigations or whatever, if they don't detect anything, they don't look for something to call a detection, you know, like they're not listening for any little creak and crack to see that, to say that, okay, that must be something.
Yeah. That doesn't look like they were trying to find anything to just justify them being there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, at the same time, they were, though. They were saying, huh, that's, in, you know, I don't know. They
were they? Yeah.
Well,
I guess in a few instances they were like, well, yeah, that would be interesting, but they...
What I mean is that it's... You're way more interested if you've got the belief to back it up in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you're not even... I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. How's that for critical
know.
Thinking, guys?
I don't know. It's 1:30 a.m.
It's
1:30,
I don't know.
That's our excuse.
All right, well, I guess that's a good place to wrap it up then.
Yep.
This has been Critical Junction, episode 16. I'm Mark.
Oh, I am Luke.
I'm Joe.
And as always, thanks for listening, and we will catch you again next time.